As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family, so I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you are concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I'm happy and pleased to be here with you so that I have the opportunity to share my opinion and listen to yours as well. It's important that we be prepared to discuss our opinions about what's going on in our world. We have to fight the issues that impact our lives now and in the future, and we have to remain strong and engaged in order to make things happen. I have been putting off this particular topic for a while, not really even sure how I feel about it, and I hope there's a number of you who are going to come on today to give me your opinion about this topic so that I can continue to develop what it is that I think. I think that all Black Lives Matter is a very important organization. It is one that needs to run along with the NAACP. It is not one that should be disbarred or dismantled. It is one for this day, this time, and we need their efforts. But I want to talk about some of the behaviors that I've seen of people who have participated in the marches related to Black Lives Matter. And I want to talk about a professor who was involved in a conversation on Fox News about a program that Black, I think it was Memorial Day, that they have where they only wanted African Americans to attend. And I think that I'm going to go on record as saying that I think we need to fully evaluate where we stand with all of the things that we have related to Black history, related to when we're promoting Black initiatives, Black causes, when we're praising Black beauty, and all those kinds of things. I think we need to evaluate how we're going to move forward with who participates and who's involved with these kinds of things. I think that when you suggest that white individuals, by their race, should not participate in Black causes or be a part of the movement, I think you've gone in the wrong direction. I think that if you had a memorial event for Black Lives Matter, there should have not been any restrictions related to what race of people could attend. If you are committed to change in America, then you have to, as I believe that you need to have all people who believe in fairness be able to participate in the movement. I don't see where you can exclude people from an event just because of the color of their skin. And I'm not sure that we want to have that kind of statement being made because how would we feel if there was a specific white organization that was mainstream that was able or willing to exclude other races, other religions, just on that basis. And so now you can have membership drives and you got to be a member. And certainly if you want to have an event and only members can come, but then again, you should not exclude people just on the basis of their color or their religion from becoming members. So I'm concerned about when this professor went on Fox News and suggested that white people were upset because of they couldn't use their white privilege to get into the event. Another thing that I want us to talk about was I saw during a march where a black female instructed several white attendees that they couldn't be in the front, that they needed to go in the back, that the blacks needed to be in the front. And here again, I don't think you should be telling people where they should position themselves if they're going to be part of the movement. I think it's important that Black Lives Matter be a multicolored movement and not a movement of only African Americans. Though we want to strive for African Americans to become leaders of those causes that are important to us, we should not exclude other people from being committed or dedicated and using whatever talents they have to help promote the movement. We cannot exclude white individuals from those things that we feel are important, because I think it's important that they be a part of whatever we're doing in order for our movement to have the consensus that we want it to have. And I'm going to take it even a step further. In our historically black colleges, if we're going to solicit all students because we want to believe, and we should believe, that our colleges are viable, they're important, they can further educate any race of people, then we have to include them in every aspect of the college experience. If a white female wants to run for Miss South Carolina State, how can she be excluded because of her race when she's a student at the school? And I'm not saying that's happening, but I'm saying to you, we have to evaluate when we have these things, how we're going to handle if someone outside of our race wants to participate. If Miss Black America or Miss Black Florida or Miss Black anything and someone wants to participate who is not African American, how are we going to deal with that issue? Or is it time to allow maybe not the title of that, the event, but allow anybody to participate? These are the kinds of things I'm wondering about as we go along with fundraisers of any kind. As we go throughout the life, I'm not ready or prepared to get rid of any of those things that highlight African Americans, their history, their movements, or any of those things. But I definitely don't believe that we should be excluding people who want to be on our side. It is my understanding that from the beginning of the NAACP that there were white people in leadership who helped to bring that organization into reality. And this is not the time or place for us to be excluding and separating ourselves. We need to be inclusive in the number, in the people that we involve in the movements that are important to us. So this is a discussion I want to have with you today about whether or not this woman was correct as a professor to pronounce that she thought it was okay for Black Lives Matter movement to have an event that excluded everyone except African Americans. Should we determine that anyone that is in the marches or rallies, that African Americans are the only ones should be up front? And if other races of people can be involved in the pageants that we have, not only at our colleges, historical black colleges, but the ones that we have in the states that are Miss Black whatever. And so where do we stand on this, and what is our thinking related to, are we wanting to include everyone in the our determination to make sure that our rights are respected? Are we looking to segregate ourselves again? And this is the question that I want to ask and want to get feedback from my audience. Okay, we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and start our conversation.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tide on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
Welcome, Kathy and Joyce. Today we're talking about how Black Lives Matter as an organization needs to move forward and what it is that we need to do to determine the direction our organizations are going in and the kinds of things that African Americans are doing at their historical Black schools when now you have more and more white students attending those schools, and how are you going to address when those students want to run from, again, I used South Carolina State, Miss South Carolina State, Miss FAMU, or any of the historical African American schools, how are we going to move forward with how we interact with different races if we're fighting to be included in the system without being people being using racism against us? How we can we use race against them if they want to be part of our movement? What is your thought, Kathy?
Well, that's a tough one, James. Good afternoon. It's like a maze. You know, we're already interacting and in relationships and entwined with the other races. And like you said, they're at the schools. So, I mean, this is a difficult conversation to have because what do you say when, like you said, when someone wants to run for something and it's at one of the Black colleges, right? What do you say to the people?
Right.
What can you really say? You can't say anything but allow it to happen because you've allowed them to come into the school, so then it's fair game for everybody. You can't say anything, really. I really don't know, James. I don't.
Well, this is one, you know, my deal is if you are fighting for rights of a particular race, you need to include other races in whatever fight or whatever movement you're establishing because the point of fighting for those rights are that you want to have the same rights as everyone else. So how can you, in the Black Lives Matter movement, have events and exclude a part of the population that believes in your movement? It just seems to be odd to me that you would use exclusion as part of your methodology. Gary, I want to thank you for being on the show, coming to the show as well. What are your thoughts about this professor that got fired on Black Lives Matter because of her thought process related to event for Memorial Day? Okay, let's go to Joyce. Joyce, what are your thoughts about this?
About someone coming into a Black institution that's Black and you have a non-Black person coming into institution?
It's a combination of things. Let's first deal with there was a Black professor who was on Fox News who was trying to justify the fact that Black Lives Matter had a bit during Memorial Day and decided that only Blacks could attend. But if you're having a national movement to say that Black Lives Matter, why would you exclude people based on race from being a part of your events or your movement when those people are needed in order for your movement to be successful?
What type of event was it?
It was a barbecue, a Memorial Day barbecue, and they decided that only Blacks could attend.
Oh, was it in an all Black neighborhood? I wouldn't want to go anyway.
I'm not sure of the neighborhood or the venue, but what she said on Fox News was that this was an event, and they decided that they just did not want to deal with any other race other than their own, so they made this exclusion for this particular event.
Well, they shouldn't have named it the Black Lives Matter barbecue event. They shouldn't have did that. If they knew that their intention was just to celebrate just by their own self, more or less, they should have just had the event but did not stigmatize the Black Lives Matter to that for namesake. For people other than a non-black race, to me, going into a black institution as far as a black, all-black school, you know what that foundation and that platform is all about. So to me, for you to want to go into my school that has this black platform, do not try to go in there and try to change it to other than what it is, because that foundation is built on Bethune, Tougaloo, or whatever those organizations of that the backbone of those black institutions, and that's what that foundation is all about. So my thing is, for a non-black person going in there, that means that you buy into everything that institution already stands for.
So you think they should be excluded from running for Miss Whatever?
No, because that's not what Jackson State, that's not what Bethune or any of those institutions stands for. But when they go in there trying to change the bylaw or the foundation of what that institution is built upon to say, you know, to open it up to something for what it's not, well, you know, you got to be open-minded about that. If you open it up to different things, that means that you're willing to change the platform for what it is. Because it's no longer what that platform is. It's not only just a black institution anymore. Once you start opening it up, so that within itself is not what that institution is anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, in this case, we're saying now most historical black schools are asking for monies from their state and from the federal government. They're recruiting white students to come to their schools because they want to be known as an institution that can further the education of any race of people. Then when you do that, don't you then still have to open them up to all the activities that the student body is allowed to participate in? Shouldn't
Absolutely.
They be able to run for the president of the school?
Absolutely, because to me, like I say, that the foundation of what that institution was built upon and what it was originally started on is no longer existent. Once you start getting in federal funds, state funds, the whole bit, then that's not what that institution is all about anymore. Because those black institutions was owned and ran by black donations, foundations, and everything. So once you start getting in government money, yeah, everything changes. So there's no rules for all blacks no more. That foundation.
And I think you're right. I think that now we've established that it is a historical black school. You're not changing what its historic value is, but now it's become multicultural because you're inviting in all races of people to take advantage of the institution's ability to educate.
On a black perspective,
and on Black People's Matters.
Well, tremendous Thursday to everyone, and I think Joyce has articulated very well key points that she brought out. Is the fact that if indeed they were going to have a function, do not associate with Black Lives Matter. Now you have a right. And I attended a historical black college. Thank you, Joyce, for the shout-out for Tougaloo College.
Hello.
But I went. But now, if a group, if myself and a group of friends want to have something particular, we can do that so that we decide who comes and who don't come. However, I couldn't do it under a sorority name. I couldn't do it under a particular organization name, if you understand what I'm saying. So that's one thing. And then you have to also be mindful of the name of a college is historically black college. So it's a reason why I say I'm historically black. That's the history of it has to do with black. But like I said, now the recruitment efforts have been, and it's just not occurring now, have been to open that that invite out such that, you know, certain funders can apply, because in most cases the historical black colleges and in most cases are privately owned. You have some like FSU, Florida State, FAMU, I'm sorry, FAMU, which is partners with FSU. They went from, I think they're no longer private. I think they're associated with the state of Florida. So then when you start receiving government funds, you no longer can just identify who can and cannot come to your university. But I agree with Joyce. If indeed they wanted to have a fellowship or a barbecue with just a certain group of people, then that's who you invite. It's just like, you know, in your home or even in your church. You may be having something, but if you associated with the missionary society, well, then you're not now, you're unable now to put limitations, because now you are associating what the standards and expectations and the mission is of that particular unit of the church. But if just a certain group of congregation members would say, hey, I'm having a get together at my house, I don't have to invite the whole church. I can determine who I want to invite, and that's my right. But I'm doing that as an individual, not as part of an organization.
Dee, what are your thoughts about this? You know, here we are. We have a national movement. This Black Lives Matter has a national website page. They're soliciting money from everybody. They're not turning down any donations from any race of people. They want everybody involved financially, but yet they had a party on Memorial Day, which they excluded all races but black. And I'm just saying, I'm going on record saying, if you're a national movement that deals with the issues of African Americans, you then have to include all races of people in order for your movement to be viable. And therefore, you shouldn't be excluding people from any event that you have, because that is a racist movement. That seems to be a racist activity or a racist way of handling it, and therefore it defeats your whole purpose related to your national movement.
James, thank you for this subject. If you recall, James, this subject right here is really what brought me to your show. Some kind of way I stumbled upon your show, but it was this subject in mind that I was perplexed about, and I was eager to share some light and have some clarification about the significance behind the idea and the movement of Black Lives Matter. Please excuse me respectfully. I'm going to have to disagree some things that's been said. So let me try to lay the groundwork real quick. The idea of Black Lives Matter has the potential to do great things. Even though the birth of it stemmed up from the Ferguson issue and the police shooting in Ferguson, that was the birth of Black Lives Matter for the most part, I do believe. All right. In that, the organizer or the founder of Black Lives Matter, not sure what his motives were, being a young man of color, I don't think that he had the right attitude on trying to get something really done. My case in point is, had he taken a playlist, page out of Dr. Martin Luther King playbook, then he would have got a lot more done a lot faster. What happened was that due to the frustration of the police shootings and the aggravation of people of color at the time, there were a lot of participants infiltrating into this movement with vindictiveness in their heart. Stopping right there, what the organizer and the founder should have done at that point, he should have did some type of vetting to find out what was their purpose in joining the movement. In fact, he should have laid the groundwork of what the movement really should have been about. All right, moving along. You can't get the attention of white America to even sympathize with your cause or even hear your cause if you're going to be totally black in your cause. If you think I'm lying, ask the Black Panther movement. See, this is why history is so important, that we don't commit the same mistakes twice and again and again. That was the friction between Dr. King and Malcolm X, where Malcolm X wanted to be all black all the time in his message. Dr. King understood the fact that, well, you got to understand where you're at. It ain't where you're from, it's where you're at. And you kind of have to deal with the natives in order to get to where you're trying to go. When it comes down to having people on the front line, the white folks on the front line, well, that's fine, because you're trying to get the attention of white America. The professor, the black professor, and I don't mean to take away from her accomplishment, but I'm very disappointed in her, because she, for one, has not done her homework. You know, you can't be black all the time, and this is the reason why. Look, we all in a space and time now where we're agitated and we feel left out in the Trump era. We feel like we've been left behind. Nobody is paying us any attention. We've got police beating up on us and having their way with us again. Hence, that's the same attitude that white America for the past 20 years. That's why they stooped as low as they could. Donald Trump was the only guy they had that felt their pain. So we can't do the same thing, because there's no growth in that. And so on your show, we've been talking about all the while that you got to play the game smart. We are intelligent people, but we can't get sucked in into the stupidity. And so being blacker than black all the time, expecting them to respect us just because you got to and you're supposed to, that's not going to get it done. You got to play into them. You got to have the white clergy or the white businessmen that understand your plight and sympathize with your cause in your ranks. That's going to get the television networks there. That's going to hush up the opposition, because when they see their banker walking in line with you, now you're doing something. But if you just got just us, ain't nobody that's obsolete. Those times are gone and past. So that's where I disagree. Thank you, James.
And I think that's important that we do that related to all aspects of what when we're highlighting black history or anything relative to black Americans, because we have to be first admit that we were not the only ones involved in pushing the positive related to black Americans. There were whites that were involved in the successful escape of slaves to the North. They had to provide shelter. And so to deny that there were white people who were a part of every aspect of black history, it's to do the same things that European Americans have done related to their books by excluding the successes of blacks in America. So we can't do the same thing and say it's right for us, but it's wrong for them. And I'm saying that it's okay to have historical black schools, but once you invite or you include all races of people, then you have to include them in all the activities related to the students. And I think that we have to visit when you have Miss Black Florida, Miss Black Orlando, Miss Black California, you know, Miss Black Los Angeles, that are we excluding people from having the right to participate in these events? That when we bring everybody together in love of Black America, it's going to make all of America better. And I don't see a reason or rhyme or reason why people need to be cut out of anything because of their race. Then to me, you're doing exactly the same thing as the white supremacists. Kathy, what are your thoughts about that? I know you were having some difficulty initially, but does this change anything or open anything up for you?
Well, I'm still marinating on what Dee said, and I want him to answer your question because, I mean, he said the page is in order. I mean, wow. Go ahead, Dee.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Let me say something about the white person want to participate in the beauty pageant, in the Black Miss Black pageant, no matter what school it is. You know, let her do it, because if it's a Black pageant and a white girl want to participate, she's not going to win. She won't get the votes, but let her do it anyway. All right. Secondly, in an interracial world, again, in an interracial world, when a woman, a white woman, has a relationship with a Black man and they have a child, that child is Black in a white world, okay? So if you got a mixed white girl, a mixed girl with white skin and fine hair, but she has a Black father, you're not going to let her participate in it? So you got to do the math. You got to be fair across the board. Now, the white girl is not going to win because she's not Black, but let her participate. We can't do like the golf clubs did, like the golf clubs did Tiger Woods. You can't be a part of us because this is all white club. Well, you can do that, but who want to be a part of that in today's America? And I know that we are more forgiving than anybody else in this world. We are. But we are the real Christians, though. See, that's another point I've been trying to make. We are the real Christians. We are the forgiving Christians. The kind of church they go to and the Christ they serve, I'm not sure. But we are the forgiving Christians. We always have been. And so that's my point. Thank you, James.
And I think that, Dee, you always bring up some real important point. You know, in a society where they always try to say that a teaspoon of Black would make you Black versus white, we've always accepted our people of color. And not treated them as outsiders. So I think when we always talking about what Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high, I think we should not create rules that exclude other races from being a part of the movements we have or the events that we have or any of those things, because we need to accept the fact that everything we do has become a part of what America is about. I mean, our dances, our music, all of who we are has been included or accepted into white America. And white America has loved the things that we've done. And so we then have to react to just including them. I don't think it takes down our events or our movement by including them at all. Joyce, your thoughts?
I agree with you 100%. As a matter of fact, if we can get further ahead, as long as you're riding on a white coattail, you're going to get further riding on that coattail than all Black. Think about it. Because they're going to open some doors and avenues that you couldn't even think to even go into, let alone trying to knock on the door. But if you got someone of the white being able to get you through areas and get you through systems and loopholes that you and your race cannot do all by yourself, you just can't do it by yourself. This country is not built for just a total black back structure to get ahead. Think about it. There's no big black organization that I know of operated on by any one black individual, no matter how powerful you are. Not excluding the OWN and Tyler Perry, but you looking at your look at all the businesses. Where are they? Because they are not going to let you up there by yourself, not that powerful. They're going to knock you down. So if you can get someone else to help you go through that door by riding their coattail, why not? Because if you try to ride it on another brother to get you away, both of you are going to get slapped down. That's just the all-America way, the way that society is built. So I don't see anything wrong with it. Like you say, this United States of America is built on all the creativity and all the things that our black generation has put into being. We're just learning by half of the stuff that we are a part of, you see. But that secrecy has gotten us to be where we are. Had we been exposed prior to that time frame, we would be way further behind than where we are today. That's just what it is.
And the other part of that, Joyce, as business people, I don't care if you're a nonprofit or you're a business or you're a new industry. Success in America counts on you being able to cross over into all the races and all the religions in order to establish your mastery position. You don't want to build a product. You can maybe first start out as an industry that you focus on the black market, but as you grow and become better, you want to be able to cross over into all the different markets. So it just makes good business sense to recognize that if you have a movement, the movement may start at one place and then end up totally at another, but be more powerful. So therefore, I don't see how it makes any sense in any facet to deny people with talents to be a part of your organization in order to make your organization better. I think historical black schools made the only smart move they could make when they were soliciting all students to be a part of their school. It only makes good sense. Now, the athletes have been less likely to come to the school, but certainly, if you have a great quarterback who happens to be white, I don't care. I would care less what black school he went to, as long as he was contributing and making that team better. It wouldn't make any sense to exclude him just on the basis of his color. If you had a great pulling guard that happened to be white, it would be crazy not to try to get him. Now, certainly we all know that a lot of times white athletes have been reluctant to go to black schools, but you want to get beyond that if and when you can in order to make your teams better. I don't have a problem with that. And I don't think that, just like Dee has stated, if a white female wants to become Miss Black Florida, she knows that there's going to be a lot of competition, and she might not ever become Miss Black Florida. But what if we had been denied the right to become Miss USA or Miss Florida or Miss California? So I think it's only fair that when we're demanding for people to open up their organizations, their events, that we be equally as willing to open up ours. Kathy?
Hey, James. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. I was just thinking about my pastor, and he always says, we're going to take back the city of Compton. And then he, once a month, he'll have visitors, people from other states to come. And most of the time, they're of other races. So what he says to us is that it's not only going to be us taking back the city, but there are going to be other people too. So he said, you must allow others to come in and help you with whatever that vision is that you have. So there's no way to just have it be one particular race to do that. We have to band together. As long as we're on the right mindset and we're connecting and everybody has the same vision for this particular task, then we should be able to look beyond the skin color and go forth and do whatever the project is that's before us.
Yeah, it's crazy that you would solicit people's money and not want their talent or not want their presence. And so we have to understand that what makes those rallies important when you say Black Lives Matter is because there is a mixed group of people involved. And that says a statement. You need to recognize, as Dee has said, there are a lot of governmental agencies and a lot of governmental leaders. When you step upon the pathway with all black who are going to close their eyes or their minds to your movement. But if you are mixed with all kind of races and with all kind of religions, that then they know they got a cause they have to deal with because it's not just one race of people. And so we have to take advantage of the history that has shown us the pathway or the framework to success. Dee, you were absolutely right. And somehow or another, there are people who are still missing it, that somehow or another they think they can segregate themselves and still have the same success as if they involve all kinds of people.
If that's so, James, then it's very sad because the revolving door never stops. When we're talking about growth going into the 23rd century and all, that problem and that mindset has to be fixed. And, you know, I posed the question a month ago, and I went on Facebook and threw it out there just to see what kind of feedback I would get. And the question was, had Dr. Martin Luther King been allowed to live, would we be in a different state of mind as a society? And so one, I almost have to ask that question because without the idea that he had in mind, we all are here on this planet together, and we all are one people. Without that idea in mind, then, you know, you ask the question. Ask this question also. How is it that we went from somebody like Barack Obama, with all the good intentions that he had, and within a blink of an eye, we went to somebody like Donald Trump and what they stand for? So it's like they can't stand for good to be a part of the system or a part of the consciousness too long. They did it, you know, they voted, some white people voted for Barack just to say that they would, but they couldn't stand it. They can't stand it too long. So, you know, the revolving door and the pendulum swing both ways. But when are we going to get to some realization that, you know, if we don't come to some kind of middle ground, that our society as we know it could be coming to a abrupt end sometime in the future?
Well, part of the issue is overall when we already know that our country is becoming browner and that at some point the brown culture is going to be the majority culture. And what we've had now is just a setback because we angered white America so much that it galvanized them together to do something that was the worst thing in the world for our country as a whole. I just believe that they were so upset and so angry that they were willing to throw us ourselves to the wolves. But the point is, eventually, they realize that they're not going to be able to do that for the long run. We realize that between Latino Americans and African Americans and the merging of the races, that the mentality of brown America is going to change the destiny of our country. And so we have to be prepared to govern and to make concessions. Just like Steve said, if you have any amount of color in you, how can you be denied to run for those leadership positions in the African-American society? So we have to relinquish some of these positions and allow ourselves to recognize in the good of for all that we need to make changes. Joyce, don't we have to, we've already stated that brown America at some point in the future is going to be the majority race. So we have to be prepared to govern in the fairest way possible, don't we?
Yes, that's the reason why Trump is back in power right now. Because actually people start realizing and they woke up and they don't want that to happen. So what you're looking now at what has happened is a rebellious state because up jumped the cat. Because they was willing that they could tolerate Barack. But what happened was that all of a sudden they said, wait a minute now, the white male is not going to be as powerful anymore because now that you're going to open that door, guess who else want to come up? There was the guy from Florida. You know, he was there pretty strong doing his thing, and then that's Bush, and Bush had his female person, and she was the Mexican. So they feel that they're not going to be empowered, and they dare let Hillary get up in there, because then you got another female. So that means that the white man, instead of him being up on top and in his authority, he was losing rank. So up jumped the cat. So now give us anybody. So they give you Trump. Trump is the man who the wildcat. They don't care. They don't care what he done, what he going to do in the whole bit. He over there now just making a stone jackass out of himself. He's pathetic. He is ridiculous. I've been watching MSNBC today. It's enough to make you sick of the poor representation as to who he is and what he's doing as far as representing our country. But this is what you got. But, yeah, that's what's going to happen with our next generation. That's what's going to be is the melting pot. It's going to be blended. It's just blended.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation. And welcome, Regina, and we'll get back and allow you to have your say related to the Black Lives Movement.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Open up. sound of praise. Demons tremble when we call out his name. Like a fighter, I'm not afraid. Lift him high and show the fame. Oh, is there anybody in the love? Is there anybody in the love? Is there anybody in the love? Open your mouth and call. I want to know, do you love my? Do you really, really love my? Well, shout it out if you love him. Open your mouth and call. Ooh. Oh. If you really love him. Everybody say shame.
Environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Regina, we're talking today about the Black Lives Movement. And we're not restricting it just to Black Lives Movement, but to all of the causes related and events related to African Americans, and asking if these events or activities should be open up to all races of people because of the way things have changed. You know that in our historical black colleges that are now soliciting white students, Asian students, Latino students, should all the student body be allowed to run for Miss South Carolina State, Miss FAMU, Miss Morehouse? Well, not Miss Morehouse, because that's an all-male institution. But those institutions that were historically black that are having these contests, should all they be opened up to all races of people, including Miss Black Atlanta, Miss Black Georgia, Miss Black Florida. So I'm asking, what it is your thought related to, I know you probably heard about the black professor that was fired because of her stance that it was okay for the Black Lives Matter to exclude any other race of people from their Memorial Holiday event. And I'm saying and went on record that it was wrong, that if you have a national movement, it has to include all races of people to be viable. So what are your thoughts about how African Americans have to address this need to be fair when it comes to our events and our movements when you're asking for dollars outside of your own race?
Good evening. Yeah, I agree that we've got to be inclusive. The NAACP was started with an inclusive group of activists. And so we've got to keep that mindset that it takes more than one particular race to keep a movement going. I was just telling someone the other day that our NAACP annual banquet is largely funded by corporations, and the average person really cannot afford a ticket, which may go from anywhere from $100 to $150. And so that is why we have to include other people and have other dollars involved in our movement.
And that only makes sense that if you have a national movement, you need as many dollars as you can coming from as many places as you can so
mm-hmm.
that you have the maximum effect. And so I
yes.
did not understand or couldn't comprehend why Black Lives Matter would want to have a memorial event where they excluded people on the basis of race.
It would seem to me that it would be very, very, it would make a very good point when outsiders saw that Black Lives Matter to all races, not just the black race. So I can't understand why we would exclude other races. Do we not want them to express that African-American lives, black lives matter to everybody?
And that's been the consensus of the people who called in to the show is that if they wanted only African-Americans, that maybe they should not have used the Black Lives Matter word or symbol, that they should have just had a private party and just invited African-Americans. That's fine. But when you use the movement emblem or the movement name, then it ought to be inclusive.
Now, isn't there something where if it is a, I'm not sure if Black Lives Matter, if that movement is a non-profit movement, but depending on how you're getting your funding, you can't exclude anybody. It has to be inclusive.
Well, they definitely did on that Memorial Day, and a black female was on Fox News who later lost her job because her college did not support her position and fired her accordingly. You have the right to say whatever you might, but if your employer is not on board, you may have consequences.
And you are very much correct. So I'm not sure. Do you know how they're going to move forward with this in the future? I just don't think I think we need to stop being so exclusive with our events. I think it's important that we start respecting all races of people, just like we want other races to respect us.
So does that mean that you have no problem with a white female running for Miss Black South Carolina?
Miss Black South Carolina? Miss Black South Carolina State?
No, no. Miss Black, Black South Carolina.
Miss Black South Carolina. Wait a minute, don't move.
He messes with you, Regina.
Regina, you're accepting money from corporate America, from different white organizations. Doesn't that not open up your event to a woman who might want to run for Miss Black South Carolina?
Now, the difference with that is a for-profit. That is a for-profit entity. That's not a non-profit.
But they're accepting money from white organizations.
With the knowledge that it's going strictly for, with the knowledge of the guidelines for the program.
Good point
so
on
they
that.
Knew what they knew what they were contributing to when they contributed, and it's for profit. It's for scholarships. They
Regina,
South Carolina or a Miss. Well, you know, I understand what you guys are saying, because I'd have a fit if they had a Miss White South Carolina. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's so deep.
Well, we know in the past that Miss South Carolina was exclusively white when it first started. And so now they had to move from that position and allow all races of people all over the country to run for in these pageants. So I'm just asking the question related to all the different events that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Related to African American history, related to promoting black causes, these causes have to be prepared and ready to allow other people who support those causes to participate.
You know, like I said, I understand exactly what you all are what you're saying, or I understand the conversation, but then that gets to, and I'm not going to call a name, but there's a young lady right now who is a Delta, member of Delta Sigma Theta, and she's very white. In fact, she's from another country. You know, as far as her being accepted across the United States by her Delta sisters, I'm not sure if that happens. I've seen some white alphas. I'm not sure if they're totally accepted, because the ideology behind it goes so deep. So when you say a Miss Black South Carolina, that's because we couldn't run for what was Miss quote-unquote white South Carolina.
Regina, how are you going to determine if a person is able to determine that they have a significant amount of black in them? Maybe it wasn't because their mother and father was mixed. Maybe their grandparents was mixed. What level of mixture is required or is in order to deny somebody the right to run for Miss Black South Carolina?
I don't know that. And I guess the people who wrote the guidelines for those pageants would have to determine that. But what I do know is that if it is a non-profit pageant, not for profit, they've got to open it up if they accept federal funds to run it. And if it is a for-profit, then they can do whatever they want to do and risk being sued for whatever you call it, for being prejudiced, for racism. You know, when we get back to the money part.
Joyce, where do you stand after hearing Regina share her information?
It's where I was before. I told you that once they he had indicated earlier, Regina, about black institutions, and I told him that once black institutions start taking government funding or whatever, then there's no restriction as far as being all black anymore. But that foundation, what it was created for, the picture, the face of it, and the format has totally changed. So I still, it's the same thing, and Regina's saying the same thing. If it's a nonprofit, then there are restrictions. But if it's a profit, then, you know, there's a risk involved as to the chance what that organization would like for that picture to look like. And that is true. You know, a lot of our institution, our black institution, the reason why they had to open it up and take government funding is because they was going broke. All the top black athletes saw everything. They wasn't getting discovered with the NFL and the NBA and all those like they were before. So they going to those schools that those white schools where the money is. So therefore, our black institution had to survive in some way. So let's open it up to all races. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's survival of the fittest.
Cassie, your thoughts after hearing Regina?
I agree with the ladies and the gentlemen. I was just sitting here thinking now that they allow you to do the DNA test where you send it in and you get the results. and it tells of what, you know, your history is. Nowadays, you don't know who has what and where. You know, if someone comes up and say that they're African-American, how can you fight them saying that they're not? I work with this young lady who, if you saw her, she would be white. But like someone said earlier, her dad was black, but her mom was white. But she looked white, but on her paperwork, she put that she was black. And every time we needed something done in the department, we would push her forward because she would get things done for us. I mean, it's like when they saw her, they saw themselves, you know. It was a totally different answer than if it was me going up and asking the same question. I mean, it's sad. It's a very sad situation, but that is what it is.
It is true, Kathy. That's true. That is the truth.
Have you all, I want to invite you all to go online and look for Sean King, SEANKING. And he's a white. No, I'm sorry. He is a black television personality, minister. But all of his life, people thought he was white. And he was raised by his white mother and his white stepfather in a small town, and everybody else knew but him that his mother was actually involved with a black man when she conceived him. And he tells the story of his life. He's a young man. Ended up going to Morehouse, but he still fights with people thinking he's white, and he's very black.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now, Regina. He's a part of the Black Lives Matter activist, Sean King. You said S-H-A-U-N King, right?
I think it's S-E-A-N. I'm not sure. I can't remember right now.
Yeah, I pulled up S-E-A-N, but it came up S-H-A-U-N, King.
Okay.
And it
okay.
said he's an activist King. For Black Lives Matter, and he does look white.
Mm-hmm. And if you read his story, it's very interesting. Very.
All right, we're going to go on break, and we want you to get ready for your final thought for this evening.
One rose never sees that. Never. Anyway.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. Please come and be a part of our show. Make sure your voice is heard loud and clear. Dial in at 657-383-0309 to Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Cassie, okay, Cassie dropped off. Joyce, what are your final thoughts for this evening?
My final thought is that there's nothing wrong with having to have somebody else's coattail to go. Sometimes just all black or just one race is just not going to get you through the door. So if it's going to take riding on a white coattail to get into the big house, there's nothing wrong with that.
All right. Regina, your final thought for this evening?
I totally agree. It takes more than just one race to make a point. If we only use one race, we're making that point within our own race. We're trying to be global. We're trying to live globally. So we're going to have a paradigm shift and change our mindsets.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly fine for us to have a movement that deals with black issues only, but we need to the support of all races of people when we establish a movement so that that movement has more capability around the world. And so I just think it's important as we solicit people's help, their money, that we also take advantage of their talents and their time as we move forward. I want to thank all of you guys for your continued support, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a dynamic show. I don't want to spill the beans, but it is going to be a great show. And all of those of you who call in, excuse me, will be blessed. So be prepared for a great show tomorrow. I'm not going to spill the beans, but I can tell you now that all of those of you who are listening need to make sure you have your ear to the line tomorrow. So dial in tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time at 657-383-0309, because we're going to have a great show. Take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
I never meant to call you when you